CASEL was the name of the series of tests which were conducted starting in 1954, February 28th. And the tests themselves had names which were innocuous. In this case, Bravo was the first test of that series. The Bravo has no significance at all, just as a label. In the laboratory, the device that was being tested had its own name, and it had its own nickname also, which was Shrimp in this case. Now, since I was with the laboratory at the time, we all talked about it as Shrimp, the Shrimp Shot. It has taken some years for us to drop that and recognize that the thing is known as the Bravo Shot, but it's the same test. It was the first test of a thermonuclear, that is hydrogen, bomb design, which was configured to be a weapon. That means that it was deliverable. It was a package, a self-contained package that was deliverable. It had its own external antenna to receive instructions as to what it was to do, and all the other characteristics of a weapon that could be shipped safely, and it needed some assembly when it arrived at its destination, but it was essentially a complete bomb with vital parts separated when it left Los Alamos and went out to the Pacific. Now that weapon or that device, which is what we call them, devices, that device was to prove the weaponization of the weapon system that had been developed over some years. As it turned out, it was the largest explosion that the United States had ever conducted, and to this day it remains the largest one that we had on any test series, going to approximately 15 megatons. 15 million tons equivalent of high explosive. I guess that Shrimp was also the first bomb that I had ever stood next to and gotten right up next to. And there was something about that left an impression on me, that there it is, right in this box, that thing is 15 million tons of high explosive. Makes you feel pretty small when you stand alongside it, and sort of excited too to think that was going to happen. It was the first test in which I had been an active participant, where I had measurements to make on that nuclear reaction. The measurement that I was making, not by myself, I was working with a man named Bob England, and we had a technician. Those were the three of us. We had about 16 oscilloscopes and a lot of other measuring equipment in a trailer that was about 14 miles away on an island called Enyu. The native name was Enyu, or the alphabetical name Nan. We had our instruments taking their signal from an antenna array that we had built right on that island, as I remember it, it was about 60 feet high, about 15 feet wide, and it was made up of probably two dozen wires that went from the center out to the top and down to the bottom, so that it was an array that looked like an open fan sticking up toward the sky and another open fan down toward the ground. An enormous big thing, my goodness. We had built a tower about 100 feet high to support this thing. It had to be a wooden tower. It must not have any metals in it to interfere with the radio signals. That was our entire instrumentation for that test, and we were, as I said, about 15 miles away from the test itself. Inside a trailer, we had these oscilloscopes all lined up and connected to that antenna, each one tuned to a slightly different frequency, and each one looking at in a slightly different part of the envelope that reached out from this array. And these had to be turned on. These cameras had to be turned on. They were not motion picture cameras. They were still cameras. And so they had to be, their shutters had to be opened at precisely the right time when we anticipated by calculation that the signal would reach the antenna here and thus get that sweep of the oscilloscope on film. Sounds like a pretty simple thing, but it took about a year to assemble that system, test it in the laboratory. I had made up a signal generator that would try to simulate what that radio signal might look like, and learn what we could about the sensitivity and about whether our cameras were triggering at the right time and so forth. But ultimately, we were in a completely unknown, unseen world for that very short space of time, and making a record as best we could of the, what was called the shape of the curve. How rapidly did this signal get to us? And that told something about how the reaction inside the bomb was proceeding. The camera shutters had to be, of course, closed automatically, and the cameras themselves and all this equipment had to be protected from any damage from the bomb. That's why we're that far away. And there was indeed no damage at all. However, on Bravo, the weather forecast was not as precise, or perhaps it changed late in the game. In any event, the mass of radioactive material that was sucked up into the cloud at the time the bomb was fired, all of that material was picked up on a wind that came almost directly over our station. And we weren't there. We were 30 miles away on a ship. But it deposited this, a lot of the debris from the bomb was deposited on the island and on our trailer and all around it. And so the island we were on was pretty badly contaminated, and no one could go back in to recover film from our trailer until sufficient time had passed that radiation had dropped. And we had rehearsed a number of times the recovery of film, which we needed to do as quickly as possible so that it would not be exposed to any more of that radiation than was necessary. We practiced. I was elected to go and make that recovery, and went in by helicopter, landed on the beach of maybe a few tens of feet away from the trailer, and the trailer provided a little bit of shielding, a little bit of protection by separating itself from the, I mean, by being standing above the this material that was on the ground. But it was pretty hot. It was such that I had to allow myself only 5 minutes for everything. Once I got out of the helicopter, I had 5 minutes to get in, get into the trailer, open up all the cameras, get the sheets of film, put them in a lead box, carry the lead box down the steps and run back to the helicopter. That was all about 5 minutes allowed. And I suppose, I don't remember what my radiation dose for that was, but it was a pretty significant dose just for that 5 minutes of time. We got good data. We had very good answers on the film, which confirmed what the physicists had hoped they would see. Well, that was my really baptism of fire in the nuclear testing business. Now, separately, I guess you know that that Bravo, the winds from Bravo carried a lot of debris to a couple of islands that were inhabited. Some of the native peoples were on those islands, and some of them got a significant dose of radiation, entirely because the weather change, the yield of the bomb was somewhat higher than had been anticipated. That affected the size of the cloud and how far it moved up and how fast. But then the wind switch was what really got us and really got them, the native people of Rungalep and Rungarik and a couple of other places. There was a safety group that had to get over there and give the native people's warning that this material was bad and that you must not eat any food that it had been deposited on, and you've got to get off this island anyway for a period of time. And of course, we still live with the consequences of that test in the Rungalep population and others to a lesser extent. And of course, there were people on other islands who saw the cloud and thought they must have had some of that too. And certainly the rumors were wild, and there were many people who thought they'd been injured who were not. But I say none of the blame is theirs for any of them. And I think that we have been as responsible as our technology and our knowledge allowed us to be about that whole incident. There's no question that it would have been better if they hadn't been there. There's no question that it would have been better if we had had some people with them to escort them off, and if we'd had ships or airplanes ready to take them. But it was a total surprise to the task force leadership and the scientific task group leadership. And we can only be regretful about that and then hope that we have been as responsible as we could be in dealing with the consequences. And I frankly think we have been quite responsible.